It's Freeform Friday, episode 218 of BoodleNetwork.com. Welcome inside the Ella Studio. It is the last Friday of the month, April the 25th, 2014. So that means every last Friday of the month, we do Freeform Friday, where I just kind of, I don't know, talk about whatever I want to talk about. Today, I'm going to talk about podcasting. I'll update you on a little bit about what's going on with my podcasting, talk about podcasting in general, and TV talk. And we'll do all of that next. I'm rebranding this podcast. Don't know yet. I'm soliciting your help. I would love to hear from you. If you'll go to BoodleNetwork.com/help me, H-E-L-P-M-E, really short survey. Although I got to tell you, an awful lot of people have gone to extraordinary trouble, and I'm so appreciative of it. I mean, some people have spent a lot of time and given me some great feedback, and I greatly appreciate it. And so I'm looking for your help. So I'll start right there. Podcasting talk. You know, it doesn't have to be expensive. By the way, today's show, I did it as a Google Hangout on air. It was kind of a test thing. I've used Google Hangouts on air before. It doesn't always play nice with my audio console. And so my usual pristine, great audio doesn't always work out on Google Hangout on air, and it didn't really work out so well. But anyway, I've embedded the video here, so if you want to see it, you can. It's not even a listed video at my YouTube channel. I just left it unlisted. Not that I care, but it's not something I'm proud of because the audio sucks. So there's that. It's very weird. I can plug in a USB microphone and Google Hangout on air works very well. But with my FireWire interface and whatnot, it's a hit and miss proposition. I've done it on times where it sounded great as usual. And then I've done it at other times where it sounded like it did today. Not so great. So what you're getting in the feed, if you subscribe to this podcast through iTunes or Stitcher, you're getting the real deal. You're getting the good audio. So that's cool. By the way, I talk about my own podcasting gear and my workflow over at episode 205. There are links to this, by the way, on today's show notes at BoodleNetwork.com/218. But I talk about it, and I get asked about it fairly often from podcasters or would-be podcasters, planning to podcast podcasters, because my workflow is very different. You basically, here's the lay of the land. You've got two choices. You can work from a broadcast workflow, which is how I do, or you can work from a recording workflow. Now, yes, we're all recording. I don't mean that we're not recording, nor do I mean that we're broadcasting or we're not broadcasting. We're doing both. Well, some of us are doing both. Well, yeah, we're all doing both. I mean, we may not be broadcasting live. We may be broadcasting a recording, but I mean the workflow. I mean, the way that you work, the process that you go through to create a podcast can really either be broadcast or recording. Here's the explanation I'll give you. Radio stations, they will record their signal, but they're broadcasting live. So when you hear jingles and sound effects and all that stuff, that's all being done in real time because, well, you're listening in real time. So their workflow, they're doing the preparation in advance. And then when they go on the air, you're listening to the product as it's being produced. You're listening to the content live. That's the workflow. Everything is done in real time. People don't go on the air, for instance, in Dallas, Texas, or anywhere, drive time radio. They didn't record drive time radio last night or yesterday. They did it between 6 and 9. Well, here it's 6 and 10. So they're on the air for that length of time, and that's all. That's 4 hours in real time. You download your favorite music from iTunes. That's a recording. That recording involved tons and tons of editing and massaging and post-production. The band goes into the studio. They record a track or two. They may come in later and record other tracks. They may edit and mix together, process files. A lot of work goes in after the performance. The performance was the recording part. But the entire workflow involved a lot of post-production. That's the recording workflow. Mine is the broadcast workflow. Now, there are some pluses and minuses to this. The biggest one is probably money. It's less expensive to use the recording workflow. It's more expensive to use the broadcast workflow because recording doesn't involve as much equipment. If you're going to do it live or in a broadcast sense as I do, well, you can look at that video and you'll see. I mean, I've got a rack of equipment. Do you have to have all that? No. But it does help the sound. So if you want equalization and compression and all of that stuff, there's only two ways to get that. You either do it in real time as you're recording, as I am, or you record things just what they call dry, and then you come in later with editing software and you massage the audio. You add EQ here and you add some compression there, and maybe you do some noise reduction here, noise reduction there, and that's all done in post-production. I don't do any of that. I do everything live in real time. So when I hit record and I hit stop, all I have to do is name my file, put ID3 tags on it, which everybody has to do, and I'm done. I don't go back and edit. I don't go back and take ums and ahs out or anything else. I don't take pauses out. I'm the king of the pause. So that's how I work. Now here's the great thing. So you're thinking about podcasting, by all means do. Podcasting has kind of caught fire and it's done so for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is some people have seen some folks beginning to make some rather large amounts of money online. And so, hey, people want in on that. I very rarely hear a conversation about podcasting that involves, well, that doesn't involve making money. Everybody wants to know, how can I monetize it? Now, you're listening to the voice of a podcaster who's been doing this for a long, long time. The studio is the better part of a decade old. No, I didn't start out podcasting, and I didn't get all this stuff to podcast. I was producing some online audio before I was podcasting. In fact, before I even knew what podcasting was, I didn't understand RSS audio syndication. I was doing audio strictly for clients and behind the scene kind of stuff. I wanted the workflow to be live real time. I wanted to be able to jump on Skype and record those way back when. And I wanted to be able to produce some audio stuff that was kind of behind a password protected area to submit some content and give some content, whether it was coaching or whatever else. And so that was how it got started. Podcasting came about because A, I had the gear and I was already doing audio online. And frankly, I wanted to begin to lay down a legacy. I mean, for me, it was nothing more than that. And I've talked about that and I won't belabor it here, but I never intended to start a podcast so I can build a big audience and I can make some money. And I'm not throwing stones at that. That just wasn't what I was in it for. And I'm still not in it for that. I mean, would I do it? Okay, maybe. But I'm not. And it wasn't the roots of what got this whole thing started. I had grown kids and I wanted to lay down some stuff that I thought, you know, a digital audio file is pretty terrific in that, I mean, barring some catastrophe, they can last virtually forever. so I could record some things for posterity. I could record some things. I could lay some things down for my kids. And it started off, obviously, with kind of a business and personal development slant. And I thought, why not? You know, I mean, I'm willing to open up and share to the world. I'm willing to let the world kind of know who and what I am. Now, the benefit of that, even if you're not intending to make money directly from your podcast, is people can get to know you. People can make some sense of who you are straight away. And so that's an advantage. I am not using it for lead generation. I'm not using it for any ulterior motive other than to put some content out there and for people to have some sense of who and what I am. Because here's what I learned long, long, long time ago as a young man, long before the internet. If people don't like me, it's highly likely I'm not necessarily going to like them. And so if people don't like me, why would I want to do business with people like that? I don't. So birds of a feather and all that. It's not a lead gen play. It's not really anything for me, but it probably needs to morph into something, probably something a bit more meaningful. The number one criticism that I've always had leveled at me here at Bula Network in this podcast is no call to action. That is, you're not selling anything. You're not promoting anything. Initially, that seemed odd to me, but as time has gone on through the years, I've become accustomed to it because I do know that that's just so abnormal. Everybody's pitching something, and I'm a marketer by nature, and management, business building, marketing, all of that stuff is, it's what I do. It's all that I've ever done since I was a kid. So it wasn't, oh, I don't want to do that. That's not it at all. Oh, I don't want to sell. No, are you kidding? Let's sell. It's just, that wasn't the purpose. That wasn't how it got started. And I never did morph it. Should I? Probably. Okay. Does that mean that I'm going to rebrand and all of a sudden I'm going to turn into a pitch master? No, I'm not going to do that. It's not, I like the soft sell. So even if I do sell, it'll be a soft sell. But I do think that I probably need to begin to avoid some of the confusion that I'm getting with the current feedback and feedback that I've always gotten, even unsolicited feedback, was there's no call to action. And other than asking people to subscribe to the podcast or asking people to tell a friend, and occasionally on the rare occasions that I've said, hey, would you go and leave me a review over at iTunes? And I don't have very many. So, I mean, I don't even ask for that. And it drives some people crazy. I know it drives some people crazy. And what I think is happening in some cases is I think people are skeptical. I think some people are cynical and they're like, he's up to something. We can't figure out what he's up to. And I think it's driving some people crazy. Now, not many, but I do get universal feedback. I get universal feedback about a call to action. I don't get feedback. What are you up to? I mean, nobody ever says that. I'm just reading between the lines and I get it. You know, there's gotta be a reason this guy's doing this. Why would this guy, it's episode 218 and I've got dozens of unnumbered episodes and that's just here. So I've been podcasting for a good long while and producing audio online for even longer. You know, it is what it is. Okay. I'll help you out so you can help me out. Before I kind of keep on a little bit here with more podcasting talk. And that is, if you go to boodlenetwork.com/help-me, then there's a short survey again, and I would absolutely appreciate your help as I rebrand. And in order to help you help me, who was that character? That was Tom Cruise, the sports agent. Help me help you. Jerry Maguire. Thank you. You telepathically, you sent me that. Nobody uttered that in my ear, but if I had a producer, they would have said that to me. So thank you. Jerry Maguire, help me help you. Here's my work. I do small and medium-sized business consulting. Now, there's a difference in consulting and coaching, and almost all consulting involves some coaching, but no time does coaching involve consulting. Did I lose you? If I go in and I'm consulting with a business owner, we're diving into some specific problems and challenges, and usually it's a variety of them. There's always an element, there's always a degree of executive coaching that goes along with that. Executive coaching, on the other hand, there is no consulting. We're not in here tackling a business problem, a business challenge. It is strictly about the individual. Now, in some cases, it could be about an individual and his team. More often than not, it's not. More often than not, it's very individual and it's very personal. And it's either trying to overcome some particular challenge of the moment. It's trying to elevate some skills up to a new level or embrace some new skills that maybe have never been developed. I mean, it's a variety of things. So that's the work. So if that helps you help me by giving me some feedback on what should happen here at BoodleNetwork.com, great. Now, let me tell you, I've got two other podcasts, and this is one reason for rebranding here. LeaningTowardWisdom.com is where I riff on about anything pertaining to the general subject of wisdom. I've had that podcast for a long time. I'm in now the fourth iteration of it, and I think I'm going to stick with this one at least for a while. And so all of the episodes now begin with a 4,000. I don't have 4,000 episodes. That was my brainiac way of, okay, I'm on my fourth iteration, so I'm going to start with 4,000. So I think I'm up to 16 episodes or something like that. I don't know. And it's just whatever I want to riff on. And it's just about the general topic of wisdom. So I can put everything like that over there, which means I should be able to niche down or be more specific here. I'm also going to be relaunching, and this is surprising to me. I regularly hear from people who found me at this podcast, Remarkable Retail. RemarkableRetail.com was a podcast that I started, I don't know, 09, 08, or 09. I have not done a podcast episode at Remarkable Retail since the early part of 2011. In fact, I'm thinking maybe 2 years ago, I put up a homepage. It was a WordPress site. It is a WordPress site. And if you go over there now, you'll see it in its kind of new state. It's not done. But I put up a homepage in front of the WordPress site. Basically, it was just kind of a landing page that said, hey, Remarkable Retail is on hiatus, a BoodleNetwork.com production, and a link to BoodleNetwork.com. Well, by doing that, I kind of, in essence, killed the RSS feed. I wasn't thinking. And when I kill the RSS feed, obviously, by doing that, iTunes saw, hey, dormant, and so I'm done. I was out of iTunes. And yet I still hear from people who say, yeah, I first ran across you. I first heard about you over at Remarkable Retail. And I'm like, you know, I should ask these people, but I don't. And I mean, I get it regularly. Now, I've got an affinity for independently owned retail. Not big box retail necessarily, but for independently owned retail and for all kinds of retail, high volume, low volume, but particularly luxury retailing and particularly for commission based retailing. It's all its own unique animal. I've done some work with more clerking environments, but that's, you know, it's not my favorite thing. I'm really attracted to because I've spent a life in retail of luxury brands, high-end, sales-driven, high-touch, high customer service, extraordinary customer experience kind of retail. That's what I did for the bulk of my career. And so I'm going to relaunch Remarkable Retail in the fall. Okay, so there's that. There's that niche. So with that in mind, Remarkable Retail and Leaning Toward Wisdom in mind, what should Boodle Network be? And think about names. I mean, Boodle Network doesn't say anything. In fact, it's interesting. One of the pieces of feedback that I got so far, and I've only got it from one person, but it was interesting to me. You don't have to explain the term Boodle every episode. And so I got out my stopwatch and I did my usual explanation of what the word Boodle means. And it was like 15 seconds. And I thought, really? Really? 15 seconds. You know, you're irritated that I explain what the term BULA means every episode. Here's the thing about podcasting that you need to remember. If you're not podcasting, you never know when people are going to find you. You never know what episode people are going to listen to. If you have listened to multiple episodes here, great. I am tickled pink that you're here. Just know this. There may be people who this could be their first episode. Well, I'm sorry. Here's what I'll ask you. Give me another chance. Listen to a couple of other episodes before you judge me too harshly. But you know, that we never know. We don't know when people are coming in to listen to us. And so that's the reason I do it. And I also do it because it's probably the number one question that people ask. BULA Network. What is, well, now I have to explain two things. I have to explain what the word BULA means. And I also have to explain network. And of course, now as a podcaster, people think, they think podcast network. No. It started out because it was a network of services. It really still is. And that was my thinking. My thinking wasn't a broadcast network. My thinking was, you know, I'm handling everything. I'm helping people with everything from succession planning to conflict resolution, to you name it, you know, new pay plans for their sales team, sales funnel strategy. And I mean, it's all over the board. And so I was just thinking of network in the sense of it's a network of services. I'm not the guy who's okay. I'm not the compensation guy. I can do that. And I have done that. I'm not the succession planning guy, but I do that. And I have done that. And so that was the sense of network. Okay, here it goes. BULA is a Fiji term and it means both hello and goodbye. It's analogous to aloha in Hawaiian. I'm not from Fiji. I've never been to Fiji. I would love to go to Fiji, but I came across the term now almost 40 years ago and I fell in love with it because I was told it meant life. In particular, it means life is good. And it's a greeting. And so I would use it in internal memos with my staff instead of saying good morning or hello or whatever, I would say BULA, B-U-L-A, exclamation mark. Yes, initially I had to explain what it meant, but I only had to explain that once. And so I always would begin memos, unless they were really formal, with the word BULA. So made sense, right, that the company would incorporate that into the name. So that's where it comes from. Okay, back to podcasting. Listen, you want to do it on the cheap? Let me tell you how to do it. And it's everybody in the podcasting world started talking about this microphone when it came out. Audio Technica put the podcasting world in a, you know, just a frenzy when they came out with a microphone called the ATR2100. They also have an ATR2005, pretty much the same mic. Samson also, it's branded under that name. And I think it's I don't know. Don't hold me to it. A C2U, something of that effect. Same microphone, in essence. Now, there are some differences. The warranties may be different depending on how you buy it, under what model. But it's in essence the same mic. Now, here's the terrific thing about this mic, and it broke new ground on a variety of fronts. Number one, it was a USB dynamic mic. Heretofore, USB microphones have been condenser microphones. Condenser microphones are great and they sound great. Problem, you really need a controlled environment. That recording studio and your favorite band and your favorite singer, when you listen to them, they will be obviously in a recording studio unless it's a live record and it was on stage. But in a recording studio, those are going to be condenser microphones. It's a controlled environment. It picks up all the little nuances. Really, really great. Most of us don't have a really controlled studio. Mine's somewhat controlled, but mine's not a recording studio controlled. So broadcasters use dynamic microphones, even though they may be in a radio studio, but they do it because it's got rejection issues, and usually there's two or three guys, and they've all got their mics on, and dynamic mics just avoid some of the technical issues that you would have if everybody had a condenser. Now, that's not necessarily true because Dan Patrick's show, for instance, there are four guys on the other side of the glass, and then Dan Patrick is in his studio with the door closed. That's not predominantly because of the microphone interference. That's because he's got people talking in his ear while he's recording and he's broadcasting the show. But they've all got condenser microphones. They're AKG condenser microphones that really have some characteristics of a dynamic mic, but okay, that's all too geeky, I know. Bottom line is, the ATR2100 and its other cohorts was really the first USB dynamic mic. And that mic sounds ridiculously good. In fact, it sounds very much like the microphone I'm talking into right now, which is a Heil. A really good microphone. Prices started out at about $35, and now it's up to about $80, demand and all that. Now, depending on what model you get, you can probably get it for anywhere from $59 to call it $80 currently, as we record today on April 25th, 2014. The other unique thing is not only is it dynamic, but it's got USB, and it also has XLR. And the other thing about it is it doesn't have to be one or the other. It can be both. So you can plug this microphone into a mixer. You can plug it into your computer, and then you can also plug an XLR cable into it. And guys like Ray Ortega and some other guys have done some pretty unique YouTube tutorials showing you how, for instance, that you could use that microphone for Skype calls and that kind of stuff. So it's got a lot of versatility. And it's got a really good sound. Now, okay, it's not made like a $300 or $400 microphone. And so, you know, it may not last forever, but come on, it's well under $100 today. That and some free software, Audacity, and there's some others. And you're in business. And I don't mean you're just barely in business. I mean you're in business and you sound good. So don't let the gear stop you, but at the same time, I would tell you, don't just do it because it's a fad. We're seeing a number of people who've started podcasts and they've gotten three or four episodes in and they've bailed out. And I'm going to tell you from my vantage point, and others may disagree with me, but if you're going to start a podcast because you want to make six figures a month, don't. Find something else. Go sell high-end real estate. Okay, I'm jumping ahead to TV talk. $1 million listing New York, $1 million listing LA. I love those shows. Okay, go do that because you'll make a lot more money doing that than you will podcasting. I think podcasting is a great way to get your message out. I think it's a great way to share your personality with people and for people to get some sense of who you are. I also think it could be, depending on your business and what you want to do, it could be a great way to generate leads. It just depends. I think you got to think all that through, and I'll gladly give you my two cents. If you care, you can email me at results. Cause that's what I'm after, results@bulanetwork.com. And just, you can ask me anything you want. Like I said, you can see my workflow and my gear over at episode 205, where I share that stuff with you. But the ATR 2100 is terrific. It's great. Sounds great. And it's got some great flexibility and connectivity. So, you know, for well under $100, you're done. You're golden. Will you have all the bells and whistles, and will you be able to do, you know, all kinds of things? Maybe not, but you'll probably be able to do everything that you want to do. If you want to have three other people sitting with you at the same table and you all want to be able to record a show and you all want to have your own microphone, will you be able to use the USB portion of that microphone and save yourself from buying a mixer and that? No. Cause if you're going to have three people, you got to have some way to get those three microphones into your computer. And so with multiple hosts, with multiple guests, with those things being done locally in-house, where you're sitting physically right across from each other, that's going to be more difficult. If you're talking about bringing people in on a Google Hangout or on Skype, yes, you can do that. So it's still the way to, at the very least, to get started. And there's just no point. I was reminded of somebody that I knew years ago that didn't know how to play two chords on a guitar, you know, and bought like a $3,500 Stratocaster. You can do it. I mean, if you got money and you want the $3,500 Stratocaster, you know, go ahead. I mean, if I had money to burn, I would have a number of guitars, and I don't even know how to play a guitar, but I just think they're cool. I don't think they're cool enough to spend $3,000 on one that I can't play, but I do have a nice acoustic one around here. And no, I don't play. TV talk. What do you watch? I know it's not cool. We don't watch TV. I don't watch TV. We want everybody to think that we're just super duper productive, you know. I'm productive, but I watch TV. Well, more appropriately, the TV's on. Right now, the TV's on, and I am watching an encore presentation of Colorado versus Minnesota Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm a hockey guy. I'm a sports guy. And tonight, our Dallas Stars are playing the Anaheim Ducks. And if you're a Duck fan, I'm sorry, but I'm rooting heavily against you. Game 5, series is tied 2-2, best of 7. So now we're down to the best of 3. So... if it's hockey, I'm going to watch. Well, if it's good teams, I'm going to watch. I'm an NFL fan. NBA, I don't care until we get to the finals. And then I don't care very much. Baseball, I care even less. I'd just soon drive around the neighborhood and find somebody who's having their house painted, and then I'll just go and watch the painters paint and watch the paint dry. So I'm not a baseball guy. I'll watch when we get down to the pennant races in the World Series, I'll watch. But other than that, don't really care. I tell you, when HDTV came around, NASCAR, don't ask me why. Yeah, like my wife says, they just go around in circles. Now, what I like the big tracks. I don't understand the small tracks. If you're a NASCAR fan and you understand the small track, I don't get it. I don't understand. So they pedal to the metal on the gas for seconds, and then they're riding the brake through the curve. I don't get it. Those just seem like a waste. The track here in Fort Worth, big track, and they can go 3 and 4 across. That's awesome. You know, Talladega, Daytona. I mean, those are, yeah, give me those. Give me those where they can just haul. I mean, come on, that's what they're for, right? Other than that, reality TV shows. Do you watch any of these? Let me tell you the kind that I watch. I already mentioned Million Dollar Listing LA, Million Dollar Listing New York. I know they're a little bit contrived. I mean, you and I both know, surely you do know, don't you, that the producers are, an awful lot of this is replayed and rescripted. I mean, you're not getting the first interaction with this stuff as it appears. It's still good TV. Don't get me wrong. I still enjoy it. There are two other reality shows. Actually, there's three others, and they're all of the same ilk. The Prophet. Have you seen this show? This is on one of the news shows. It's called The Prophet, and they don't do very many episodes. You know, the guy comes in and he takes a look at a business that has contacted him because they've got some trouble, and he invests his own money in the business, and he usually takes a big chunk of the equity, obviously, in the business, and they have to agree to it. And he's a turnaround artist. The other two shows that are very similar is Hotel Impossible and Restaurant Impossible. And it, other than them putting money in, it's the same kind of format as The Prophet. Difference is he's putting his money on the line. With Hotel Impossible and Restaurant Impossible, they're kind of coming in as consultants, much like what I do. And they're turning the thing around. And it's just amazing to me. And all of those shows resonate with me because they can go in, you know, and they all do the same thing. First shot out of the barrel, they visit the place and they take a look and they check out the service and they check out the surroundings, they check out the quality and all that. I mean, they're just glaring deficiencies right off the bat. And you're thinking, how can these people that own these businesses not see this? So they come in and they look around and they go, you know, when's the last time you painted this place? And they're like, paint? Oh, yeah, it kind of does need paint, doesn't it? And you're like, how could you have come in here every day for the last 5 years and not notice this? You know, how can you not know if you're a restaurant? How can you not know that your food is terrible? It's like, do you ever eat here? Do you ever eat your own food? So I kind of like those because, again, they kind of speak to me because it's the nature of what I do. So I can kind of relate. But that really is about it for reality. Well, there is one other, The Voice. I'm not big on these talent shows. I was reading an interesting article the other day that talked about the difference between The Voice and an Idol. Idol is more focused on the talent, and according to at least this one article, and The Voice is more focused on the judges. And The Voice has good ratings. The fourth or fifth season? Yeah, I'm not as into it this year as I have been in the past. I don't know why. Well, I like the original judges. And of course, Christina, she's pregnant again, so she's out. CeeLo has already said he's out. And now we're going to have to listen to Mr. Happy, you know, this Pharrell Williams. I tweeted the other day, the first million times I heard that song, okay, maybe it made me happy, but the last 10 million times I've heard it, I'm not nearly as happy listening to that song. It's like, oh, just spare me. So I'm probably out next season. I'm not really interested in watching him. Shakira's fine, and Usher's okay. And Blake and Adam, it's always good banter, you know, between them. But I don't know. I don't know what the life expectancy of those kind of shows is. For me, it's a limited run kind of a thing. So I think I'm probably out. It's not really a reality show, but have you seen Live at Daryl's House? I don't know what channel it's on, and I'm a DirecTV subscriber. Hey, do you need DirecTV? Here's something you can do to support me. Go down to the footer of the website, and you'll see recommended resources. And there's a link to a DirecTV. If you want DirecTV and you want to sign up for a DirecTV, I can get a discount off my bill if you do this. Hey, there's a call to action. See, you wanted something. There it is. Yeah, so go do that. I don't know what channel it's on DirecTV, but Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates fame, he'll have artists come up to his house, which is in New York somewhere, not New York City. It's out in the country. And he's got a great setup, and the sound is great, and the band's great. He had Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. He's had Joe Walsh. I mean, he's had a number, Amos Lee. He's had some really good people. And it's really, really good music. And he's got a great rock and roll voice. One of the best concerts I ever went to, my wife and I, 100 years ago, went to see Hall & Oates. And it was great. It was great. You talk about a tight, tight band. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Other TV, you know, some of the podcasts that are out there on these TV shows, I guess they're shows for geeks. And I guess there's obviously a lot of geeks that are in podcasting. I'm not a geek, but I'm technically savvy, and I always have been. And I love technology for what it can do, for productivity and efficiency and all that stuff. So I'm ahead of the curve than most people. I'm way, way, way ahead of the curve for most people my age. I mean, my kids are in their early 30s, and I'm their technical support guy. So that'll tell you something. And they're obviously as tech savvy as I think most 30 somethings. So I'm way ahead of the curve on that, but I'm not sure. Here's where I'm not geeky. I'm not geeky in that I'm not a sci-fi buff. I'm not a guy who reads. I don't read sci-fi. Okay, I watch Star Wars, and yeah, I'll watch some science fiction stuff every now and then. But I wasn't a Star Trek fan. I wasn't just completely absorbed and ate up with Star Wars. No. I like The Good Wife. You watch that show? I like The Good Wife. My wife and I like it too. Elementary. Watches that. Tell you a show that I like. My wife doesn't like it, but I like it. I'll tell you what she doesn't like about it. See if you don't agree or you disagree. Parenthood. In fact, I think I've got I got two episodes on the DVR that I haven't watched yet. Parenthood. I don't know. It's got multiple storylines, and I find it interesting. I heard that it was a show that was on the bubble. I'd like to see it come back. I like it. My wife, you know what her objection to it is? The camera work. And I didn't even notice it. And it does. If you watch the camera work is a little bit herky jerky. And she said it makes her sick. And I'm like, I didn't even notice until she pointed it out. The Vikings. Vikings. You watch this show? Man, I mean, it's brutal, but my son kind of got me watching that. The Americans. And of course, that's harkening back to the 70s, so it's pretty intriguing. You know, it's Cold War kind of stuff. It's, you know, some KGB agents that are implanted as though they're an American family and stuff. It's pretty intriguing. It's pretty interesting stuff. That's really, those are the highlights. I like TV, and I like TV, but, you know, I like the stories. I mean, why else are we going to watch, right? I mean, it's, for me, it's all storytelling. Somebody had emailed me not long ago. I guess they'd come across an interview that I did with John Buscal over at, Jauntus Media. I'll put a link in the show notes. I don't remember when John interviewed me. It's one of the few interviews I've done. I don't get asked to be interviewed hardly ever, which suits me fine, by the way. But John and I had a nice talk, and there was some conversation about creativity, and the real topic was primarily storytelling, and I'm attracted to it. I'm real attracted to just storytelling. I don't claim to be very good at it. I'd like to be better. But I'm interested in it. So that's a big component of the stuff that I watch, as opposed to, I know some people, they love the technical stuff and they love the sci-fi stuff or a variety of kind of technical geeky things. And I'm probably more the human interest kind of guy. I mean, it's probably why I like Parenthood. You know, it's got some stories and multiple storylines to kind of juggle. And that kind of makes it a little bit more taxing on you mentally. I mean, you kind of have to keep up. Not too much. I don't claim to be that bright. What else? You know, it's Freeform Friday, so this is how we roll. And I think I've probably overplayed my hand here, man. I'm 42 minutes in and counting. And, that's another thing. I had so far nearly all of the feedback that I've gotten that mentioned anything about time is, you know, your shows could be longer. I was flattered. I'm flattered by that. I'm not sure that I agree with it. And my iPad died, so I don't have any outro music. Yeah, I use that for my, I could, okay, no, my phone's dead too. I need to charge things up more. I need to quit using them as much, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, it's strange without music. You just kind of feel like you're perched out here, and you kind of feel like a gymnast who's on a high bar. And you're swinging round and around, and you know you have to dismount, but you're just not ready to let go of the, what do they call that thing? Bar. Hello, thank you. Not ready to let go of the bar, so you just swing around and around and around and around. That's kind of how I feel. So that's it. Hey, Randy Cantrell, that's me, BulaNetwork.com. That's the website and the podcast until you help me rebrand it and do something better. And I'm sitting in, you know where, the Yellow Studio.